Hello and welcome to Some Guy and the Bugman Figure Things Out. I am Some Guy.
I am the Bugman. Hello and welcome.
Yep, and this is the show where you guys got questions at the end and we try to figure those out, but hey, heck,
yep.
Shoot fire. We've got problems of our own. So
that we do.
We try to figure stuff out for ourselves before we try to mess with anybody else's lives, because my goodness, yep. Have things gotten weird around here?
It's all about self-care. It's all about self-care. Mm-hmm. We do try to do charity, though. To do charity, to commit charity. Anyway, we're here mm-hmm. with Tammy today at our local soup kitchen, which mm-hmm. is unseasonably low numbers. Like, there's not a lot of people in here, but it's hot outside. I don't people don't want chili and vegetable soup and stuff like that when it's 90 degrees.
Nope.
So we're actually helping Tammy, doing some consulting on changing this thing into a snow cone kitchen for those without snow cones.
Right. There's enough people out there with soup that a nice chilled treat would be, I think it would be considered good for the community, and I think it would go a long way. So, there's nobody over here at 3 a.m. that wants soup. So snow cones sounds like the right way to go.
Exactly.
So we'll see if she's convinced, but just telling you, I'd buy that.
Yeah, I'd buy that.
I think everybody'd buy that.
Exactly. So thanks again, Tammy. And on to the show today. So I am honestly just going to start out and say I'm offended. Some guy went on a trip this weekend.
I did.
Without me. Right. I knew nothing about it. I didn't get mm-hmm. a chance to turn you down. I didn't get a chance to say I'm too busy.
Yep.
You just went without me.
Yep.
I don't appreciate it. However, I'm intrigued to hear mm-hmm. about it. I want to hear what happened.
Yep. Well, the thing is, I didn't invite you because I just didn't think to invite you.
Yeah, I figured.
You know,
that.
I figured you'd figure that because we figure things. And
sure.
I'm sorry, but by the end of this episode, I think you're going to agree that you're better off not going, that I did you a favor.
Okay. I'm feeling better about this situation.
But
okay.
Yes, I did go. I did go, and boy, howdy,
was it
a trip.
Yeah. Okay. I want all of the juicy deets.
Well, let me just tell you. I'm out on a float trip. You guys know what a float trip is. You don't actually float. You got to row. All right, you get on
mm-hmm.
canoes, you get on kayaks, and you go down a river. All right,
yeah,
and it's cold. It's real cold. It's like somewhere around the water's probably somewhere around 30, 32 degrees, and it would be frozen if the river had been sitting still. But it's moving, so it's
really
doesn't have any issues with freezing. But it's cold. It's about 50 degrees in the air, and it's raining a little bit. And we're all freezing to death. But we're like, hey, this sounds like a good day to go on a float trip. So let's do it.
Yeah.
Now, on a float trip, especially with inexperienced floaters, one of the things you're going to run into is people's canoes are just going to turn over.
Yes.
All right. Yep. Now, we'd been doing just fine. Just fine. No problems at all for most of the river. It wasn't until we got way down the river that we started having issues.
Yeah.
There's a tree that is turned over, and most of the branches are in the river, and it's just eating every canoe that goes through there. Everybody's flipping over. Everybody's floating down the river without their canoe. They're losing their sandwiches. They're losing their coolers. They're losing their, electric toothbrushes that they thought they'd bring. Just everything's coming out.
Everything.
And happens to one of my dear friends. Now, I'm in a kayak, so I nimbly avoid this thing, no problem. No problem.
It's the canoes.
Like the wizard that used to play for the Cardinals, dodging being tagged with the baseball. I'm just whipping around everything, not having any problems whatsoever. But my poor friends who've never been on the river before, they flip their canoe. And they go floating down the river, dragging, along the riverbed, holding onto the canoe, trying to save themselves. And lo and behold, one of my friends gets injured. and yells out in pain quite loud. We help my friend over to one of the banks, and this is where, friends, things get very interesting. Insert the junior lifeguard cult that you never want to have at the local public pool, let me tell you.
Yeah.
To give you some
idea. This is the wilderness. This is not even a pool. This is in the middle of nowhere or whatever.
Right. Right. It's like some trainees. Like, honestly, I think that the people who follow this man, who I'm going to call Hannibal, like Hannibal from the A-Team, the captain
from
cult leader.
A-Team, yes.
The people who follow this man, I'm almost certain that they found him via VHS. Like, they popped one of his videos in the VCR in 2019 and found this dude talking and karate chopping stuff and possibly even the people he's supposed to be saving and talking about his lifeguard team of adventurers that's going to go out on this river and try to save people. I mean, this dude was a piece of work. But we got Captain Cult Leader there. Looks like Hannibal. Doesn't just act like Hannibal. Looks like him, too. It's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we've got Brigadier Beast Woman. And I mean, she'll come up later, but I'll tell you all about her. We've got Cadet Jethro and his squad.
And the squad.
And last but not least, we have Lieutenant Leave Her for Dead. These are the characters in my story. Now, we get my friend over to the riverbank, and immediately, the junior lifeguard cult mobilizes, and they just start getting together their whole team, their whole squad. Captain mobilizes the troops and says, "Get that team across the river, cadet." And here goes this team of roughly 19, 18 year olds, linked arm in arm and braving the river as fast as they can, screaming out for me to reach towards them with a branch so that I can safely pull them in to our side of the bank. Meanwhile, while they're braving the river like it's the Oregon Trail and they will most certainly float down the river and die, a couple of my friends just went up to one of the shallow areas of the river nearby and casually walked across the river to get to the other side of the bank where some of my other friends had ended up. But these people are just, you know, as brave as they can coming across.
There's no time for that walking across the. There's no time for that.
No, it must be heroic. And I'm talking about linking arms like the scene in Cliffhanger where they're trying to hang on for dear life and their arms are just slipping and, "Help, you have to help us so we can save her." It's glorious, absolutely glorious. So they get over there, and we'll talk about the cadets' activities. Immediately upon coming onto the bank and looking at my friend laying on my kayak in much pain, looks at my friend and declares a dislocated hip and a broken femur. Now, he has some kind of X-ray vision because he was a few feet away from her as he's walking up and he's declaring all of this. And then he's looking, there's a little bit of redness. But yeah, this person just had their backside dragged up against some river rocks for about 20 yards. So yeah, there's some redness.
But so a lot of blood or
no blood.
A little? No blood.
No blood. Just clearly pain.
Yeah.
Because there's some redness from hitting the rocks. But no blood. No blood.
No blood.
Nothing. This person, my friend's leg is kind of like, one foot is, like, if you were laying down, how both of your feet are up.
Yeah.
So the right foot was up like normal, but the left foot was sort of pointed towards the right foot.
Oh, okay.
Like the left foot's toes pointed towards the right foot. And he took that as evidence of dislocate, because he's never rotated his leg more than 15 degrees.
Right.
So
right.
He took that as dislocated hip and broken femur. Definitely.
Femur. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, and so he demands an ice pack for my friend. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, my friend is probably sitting in like 20 to 30 degree water. It's very cold. And he's like, "We need an ice pack immediately." And
immediately.
So he takes off his shirt and then fills his shirt full of ice from my cooler, and then proceeds to lift my friend right where my friend has a apparently dislocated hip and broken femur, and then places the ice down in the 20-degree water and says, you know, all right, this is taken care of. Immediately, the cadet springs into action and thinks, all right, troops, the next thing we have to do is get this person's Instagram. And he asks my friend for her Instagram account.
Yes.
After declaring a dislocated hip and a broken femur and getting her an ice pack, he asks for his Instagram account with the thinly veiled cover of, I need to get my shirt back at some point, so can I have your Insta to contact you?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, while this happens, Beast Woman comes in. I mentioned Beast Woman before. Brigadier Beast Woman comes in. She's across the river, thank heavens. She stays there for the duration of this episode. She's across the river, and she is shouting. Now listen, she's in the cult. Brigadier Beast Woman is in the cult. This woman is not a lifeguard.
Gotcha.
Repeat, she is not a lifeguard. But she's shouting. Like, shouting all of these commands at us. And I'm talking shouting across a stadium during a concert, and I am 15 yards away from this woman on the other side of the river.
Right, yeah.
I cannot hear myself think because she's shouting so loud. And where we're at, it's sort of down in there's like bluffs on either side of the river, and so it's echoing. People up and down the river can hear her shouting. And I can't hear myself think. She claims everything we're doing is wrong. And not only that it's wrong, that we're killing my friend, Bugman. That my friend will die if we do not listen to her.
Because of the internal bleeding and all.
Yes, because we're not taking her advice. Now listen, my friend, who has a bruised hip, is now a little scared for her life.
Yes.
Because she thinks that her bruised hip might actually kill her because these, you know, lifeguard cultist people, pretend people, are telling her she's going to die.
Dude. Yeah.
Okay. So, my friend is very afraid.
Yeah.
Cadet springs up into action after Beast Woman shouts, your friend is going to die if you don't listen to us. Cadet shouts, we need a splint. So, Cadet Jethro over here and his squad start looking for the two soggiest sticks in the river. That's what they end up coming up with. Like, these sticks have probably been in the river about half of my lifetime. Okay, underneath the water, soaking it up, and just, for whatever reason, haven't fallen apart. That's what they eventually find. And then they're like, oh, we need some survival rope. Does anyone have any? Luckily, one of my other friends who's not injured, has some and is going to entertain them for a little bit with this survival rope and just gives them a mile of this rope that they have to untangle before they can make this, you know, soggy stick splint for my friend who has a bruised hip laying down on a kayak. Now, after the splint search is commenced, Hannibal, leader of the lifeguard cult, shouts to us across the river that he is leaving to go and get park rangers, that it's going to take him 30 to 45 minutes to get down the river in his river raft, okay? And when he gets there, he will get the park rangers to then get on a motorboat to come down the river, and it's going to take an hour or two before they can make it. So we need to start a fire to keep my injured friend warm. Now, as soon as he says this, he walks over to one of my other friends, like friend B, who is on the other bank with him, and hands that friend of mine a box of matches and says, start a fire to keep warm. Now,
thank goodness.
Has anyone done the math here?
Right.
My friend who is injured, who they believe has a broken femur and a dislocated hip, is on my side of the river, on the riverbank, in a kayak. And the matches are on the other side of the river.
Right.
But Hannibal thinks this is going to be fine.
It'll be fine.
They're going to be able to start a fire, and it will warm everyone across the river.
So far, I'm just surprised that they didn't have the survival rope bracelets, all of them have at least like two or three, that Hannibal didn't have a flare gun to signal the park rangers with.
Listen, this guy started this cult with a VHS recorder. He does not have the budget for survival ropes for everybody.
Yeah, that's probably true.
This
guy
probably lives in a van down by this river.
Nothing
but his camcorder, government cheese, and all teenagers, this beast woman and his lieutenant, you know, asking him if they can make a sandwich for him. Like, this is all has. So don't judge him for not having the survival rope.
Sure, yeah.
So he's all gung-ho. He's about to leave. He starts getting a group of his people together so that they can all steer the raft down the river as quick as they can. Now, at this point, my friend starts to think things are getting a little out of hand.
Yeah.
It's a little ridiculous. And my friend starts to say, you know, some guy, I think I can get up. I'm going to Now, are you sure? Now, I'm still a little worried because, listen, I'm no medical professional.
Sure.
And at this point, I'm not fully convinced that this is just some random cult. I'm just thinking these are really, really bad lifeguards, but maybe they know what they're doing. Like, because it's in the moment, it's kind of hard to discern when you're like, I'm really trying to care for my friend. These people claim to know what they're talking about. Like, you know, and you're trying to listen to him.
Well, like you said, what started it all was she was hollering like something was broke. So
my friend was in pain. I mean, was definitely in pain. No doubt at all. Like, the pain was absolutely real. But the extent of the injury did not go nearly as far as these people thought.
Yeah.
And therein lies the issue. So my friend believes they can move. And I'm like, are you sure? Because I don't want you to try and stand up and then you actually damage it further if you know, what if it is dislocated? What if, you know, I don't think anything's broken. I'm thinking maybe there's a hairline fracture in there, but do we really want to risk this? And they're like, pretty sure I can get up.
I'm going okay.
So they tell me, you know, help me slowly get up. So I start helping, and I'm you know, I'm bracing this person and trying to lift them a little bit to assist them to get to their feet. And this is when Beast Woman goes full rage beast.
Okay? Yeah.
If she was yelling during a stadium concert before, now she's yelling at a stadium concert to another stadium that is on the other side of an erupting volcano. This woman is twice the size that she was when she started yelling, and now bright red in the face and growing hair on her arms.
Oof.
I mean, just
she's evolving.
Picture like a Saiyan going from little tiny child to growing a tail and becoming a giant monkey person and going to stomp their way across the river to wring my neck. Like, that's what's happening. Full,
dude,
absolute rage beast.
Yeah.
It is just, I don't want to yell into the mic, but I mean,
yeah.
Put them down! You're killing them! That's what we hear.
Yeah.
I calmly walk my friend over to a cooler nearby to sit on, to the tune of, you're committing manslaughter, going on in the background. Okay?
Yeah.
This is when Cadet Jethro jumps back up into action and almost has the soggy splint ready. Now, my friend at this point is trying to walk this off and gets up to walk around him. And then he asks, Where is the young lass? You know, where is this person I'm supposed to be rescuing?
This.
Right.
Yeah.
And our rescuer did not notice that the victim had even gotten up from the kayak and left. That was a few minutes ago.
He was so focused.
And we all say, behind you, in unison. Okay.
Yeah.
Now enter the lieutenant, and this is the poor lieutenant. Lieutenant Lever for dead. This is his one and only line. It's a man standing across the river who I hadn't seen up until this point, standing next to Hannibal, who Hannibal just has the most confused look on his face, as if he has seen someone get up from a coffin and walk around the funeral home.
Right.
Just a confused look on his face. And then Lieutenant looks over and says, is she walking? Well, let her die then. And then he storms off.
Yeah.
And Colt begins to pack up the whole thing. Hannibal goes back and snatches his matches back from one of my other friends. The cadet, Jethro, and squad brave the river once more, arms linked, linked, and just, you know, as heroic as they could possibly be, like they've just killed a dragon or something.
Right.
And then Beast Woman has a Snickers and chills, gets back on her raft just in a huff and a puff, but has the Snickers and everything's fine now.
Everything's fine. Yeah.
Then there's my group. We hop on our boats. We cross over to their side of the river. They're all now completely calm and getting in the river and probably a little bitter that somebody didn't actually die and they didn't have a stretcher to get, you know. Yeah. This should have been more action, you know.
Exactly.
But they've seen this person walk. Keep this in mind. Important detail. They have seen the victim walk. The victim did not need to be rescued because the victim did not have a dislocated hip or a broken femur. The victim had a bruised hip, and it was and the victim was pretty sore. My friend was pretty sore. Now, I regroup with my people. We make jokes about what has just happened because it was so bizarre.
Yeah.
And then I'm told that Cadet Jethro needed that Instagram account from my friend so that he could get his shirt back. This is when I find this out, that the whole Instagram request thing happened.
Yeah.
And so I grab his shirt that's full of ice and run down the riverbank and almost fall face first into the river. When their raft is just pulling away, I said, "Hey, we don't need your shirt." And I just threw it back. And then he and the rage beast lean out a little bit. They both kind of get a hold of it, and then they sail down the rest of the way, down the rest of the way of the river.
Now, thank goodness for that.
Now, that's not the end of the story.
Oh, my word.
We had hoped this was the end, that the rift was closed, that the bizarro world we'd entered into was now fading away, but alas, that was not the case.
Yeah.
We get our way back to the landing zone where you're supposed to give the you know, rental canoes and kayaks back. And as we're pulling up, we can see from some distance, there's more than a few park rangers stationed at the landing. I've been on this river before. Park rangers don't usually stand in this area, at least not this many of them.
Yeah.
There's like three or four, I think. And we get down there, and they immediately start searching because they're pretty sure we're the group, because the group of junior lifeguard cult people are up there still waiting on us to arrive, and they're pointing out our group and saying, "That's them, that's them." So we roll up, and the park rangers want to know where the broken femur dislocated hip victim is, who can barely walk and is most assuredly dying, because here's what they've been told. These people, keep in mind, they've seen this person walk, okay? They have told, they made it back to the landing before we did. They've told the park rangers that a dying person will soon be dead because of their broken femur, their hypothermia, and the idiot group that they're with. Because we are going to cause the death of this person because there are no medical professionals among us. We would not accept their professional cultish help. And so this person may even be dead when they get down to the end of the river.
Right.
Okay. Definitely, though, broken femur is going to need assistance. So before we even arrive, an ambulance has been called by the park rangers. It's not there yet, but it's on its way, and we've been informed. The ambulance is coming, and we're going, all right. Why? So we all get out of the river, and we start walking up the bank, and I'm talking to the park rangers, and I'm like, "Look, I think this is a misunderstanding. I don't think that this is, you know, there's no reason for all this celebration here, whatever you want to call it. All these people getting mobilized, okay? It's not DEFCON 5. It's a person with a bruised hip." Uh-huh. Well, then I look over in the background, and here's Cadet Jethro and his squad are so happy to see us back on the bank, and I just get a big thumbs up from this guy, like, yeah.
I got you, pal.
Yeah, like, he got us back to the choppa, and we landed, and he got us out, and he's like, "That's right, brother. Good job, man. We're so glad you made it back." And, I mean, a big old Trump thumbs up, like one of those, you know, real big, I'm going to throw that thumb out there. And then they start to take off. And thank goodness, because I don't have a kind word to say about the group to the park rangers. I'm like, those people are crazy. I don't know what they told you. Ambulance arrives. Okay. Paramedics get there. The real professionals. Okay.
Yeah.
The people who know what they're doing arrive. And we're like a group of daycationers when these people arrive. There's no emergency. There's nothing happening that's wrong. We're just chilling. And the paramedics ask us what happened and ask the victim. And I look at him and I say, sir, a pretend lifeguard cult. And then he stops me right there with a big smile. Just a slow grin just takes over his face. He stops me. He says, ah, okay, I understand.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And he proceeds to, he goes from, I have to save someone's life, to I say that to him. And then he kind of, gets his cool back. And he's like, big smile, like he's a hippie on the beach in California about to catch a big wave. And he's like, all right, I just need y'all to fill out some paperwork so that we can get out of here. This won't cost you anything. But appreciate your patience with us. And he goes back to the ambulance to get the paperwork. We sign everything and we get out of there. And I'm thinking, how many times has this lifeguard cult been on this river and made mountains out of molehills?
Yeah.
Volcanoes out of molehills. Uh-huh. And then called the ambulance. And then disappeared before the ambulance got there so charges couldn't be pressed. Like, how many times have they done this for this dude to go, okay, sorry.
These guys.
Like, he knows them better than I do, even though I just spent like an hour with these people.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy. So that's... be thankful that you were not invited to go on this float trip, because it was a headache and a half, you know?
It's funny. I kind of am glad that I wasn't there, but I also wish that I could have seen all that go down.
I hope that, now listen, I love our fans. I love our patrons. I love everybody that listens to the show. I think that a show has finally arrived whenever you start getting like fan art and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If we can, if there's ever an episode that somebody can do like you see somebody do a podcast or something like that, and one of their fans will do an animated video of the thing. If somebody could just illustrate all of this, I would die. Like, I would just absolutely die. If I ever have enough money to have it illustrated, I may just hire an animator. Because it's a crazy story. I mean...
I kind of want a badge, like a Boy Scout badge that says, junior lifeguard cult. That I can pin to my shirt or something. Right. I really want that.
Yeah. And like, maybe even someday in the future, we can produce some VHSs and get our own cult going. Because listen, I mean, there's power in this. Dude may have been living in a van down by a river, but he had cadets. He had a lieutenant that's willing to sacrifice lives. He had a beast woman that's ready to attack so long as she didn't have to cross the river. Like, there's just all kinds of awesomeness that was going on in this situation. I'm just here to tell you, folks, if the emergency services personnel is the person freaking out and escalating the situation, they're not helping, and they're probably not emergency services. They're just claiming to be so.
Oh,
so if I have a little bit of a rude tone when speaking about these people, it's because they had us all thinking my friend was going to like actually die of hypothermia or something crazy, and I really resented the whole interaction. As funny as it was, I hope to never interact with these people again, because it was just absolutely bizarre.
Well, I don't know if it's possible to figure that one out, but if it were, I think we did. That one has to be nailed down.
Well, I'll tell you who's got it figured out.
Yeah.
That paramedic.
The paramedic.
The ambulance driver. If anybody figured out this whole ordeal, it was him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He got it figured.
To think how many people this year have done that to make him say, oh, yeah, them. Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Right. Yep.
Golly.
Well, folks, if you or someone you know is planning to head out to the well, I'll just tell you, planning to head out to the Buffalo National River in Northwest Arkansas,
yeah.
Watch out for the river lifeguard
call,
people.
Because don't fall down in the river. Whatever you do, don't fall down.
Right, because Hannibal is waiting up on the bluffs with face paint on, ready to swoop down with his team of pretend lifeguards, and they are going to... Well, you got one or two ways of looking at it. You're either going to get a half hour, an hour of entertainment out of it, or you're not going to be able to hear anything but the ringing in your ear for the next hour. So that's it. I believe we've got some kind of much more positive message from some affiliates of ours. So take a listen to this one. Get your mind off the Rage Beast. We've got some much nicer tunes to play for you here for just the next few seconds. Hello, folks. We just want to say that this week, this episode, is brought to you by you.
By you.
You, the listeners. Those
the
who,
listeners.
Who share the episode, who talk about the episode, who tell everyone you know about our show. We're thankful to you. We're also thankful to our patrons over at Patreon. We've got 7 of you, and listen, as far as I'm concerned, you are the A-team. You guys are the Power Rangers. You guys help make this show happen. I'm thankful for each and every one of you. And folks, if you'd like, you can support us on Patreon with $1. If you don't want to support us on Patreon, you just want to download the episode for free, that's cool too, because that's what the show is here for, is to entertain
Spread
you guys.
The word.
And for us to have fun doing it, and we're having fun doing it. So,
amen.
Thank you for your support, for the likes, the shares, the retweets, and for our patrons over on patrons on Patreon as well. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, that was a new sponsor this week. Haven't heard that ad before.
No, brand spanking. Fresh out of the oven.
Those sound like some handsome fellers.
Handsome. Dapper, even.
Now, speaking of handsome folks, we have listener questions.
Yes.
In my mind, these people are among the handsomest. Go ahead and put your picture. Whenever we tweet out this episode, go ahead and post a picture to our Twitter. Just reply to the post with hashtag... handsomest, and I promise I will like the photo.
Yes, same, same.
Now we got some questions. You want to take this one from Facebook?
Facebook question. Rod Cusin, my man Rod Cusin, asks, why is it a 40-hour work week? Why Monday through Friday? I only have one answer for this.
Yeah,
and it is, life is awful.
Yep.
You grow up, you think things are happening, I'm going to make it big, only to find out this is the way things are.
Oh,
I
sweet
don't
summer
have,
child.
The only answer I have is, life is, such is the way of life, Rod. 40-hour work week, if you're lucky, Monday through Friday, if you're lucky, such is the way of life.
Right, right. You know, there's a lot of jobs out there, man, but one of the only ways to make it in the world is to get a 40-hour work week. Now, you could go 80 hours, you could go 120 hours, but 40 hours a week is what we've got. And listen, I guess you don't have to do that.
Right.
I suppose you could go work at Build-A-Bear for 20 hours a week and build bears for a living for you know, kids who are ungrateful for the bear and going to throw it in the trash immediately after or something like that, but, you know... There's really just no happiness in life.
None.
So
next
we go to
question.
Twitter questions. Yeah, Twitter questions. This comes from Skinny Matt on Twitter. I need to get new shoes for work. Any recommendations? Skinny Matt, Crocs. Crocs are slip-ons. Crocs are comfortable. And Crocs look great with a suit. That's all I got to say.
I cannot add anything to that. I think that is a perfect answer. Grouchy Surge is next. How does one actually sleep in? Is there a trick to not waking up early? I'm on vacation and waking up at 5:30 a.m. every day and highly disappointed in myself.
Grouchy Surge.
Wow.
My solution to this problem is to play The Witcher 3 until 3 a.m., and then you will not wake up at 5:30 a.m.
Nah, dog. No way.
Nope. You'll wake up at noon with crusties on your eyes and blood veins just popping out of your face.
Firstly, I am terrible at that game. Secondly, I have an alarm set for about 2:30 a.m., right beside my phone, which I use for an alarm clock, I have a bottle of melatonin filled or laced, whatever the word is, gummy bears. Mm-hmm. I, at the alarm, turn the alarm off, get a handful of the gummy bears, and just, I take them.
Yeah.
And then I sleep in the next day. Inhale. And then I got another good 8-10 hours ready to go. So,
There's also, you know, Mr. Bean liked to wake himself up with like a Rube Goldberg machine that would like fire a gun or something. Tell you what you do. You set your alarm for 5:29, but have it be a silent alarm that will trigger a Rube Goldberg machine that will, you know, wind around the room, but then eventually drop a cloth that has been doused with chloroform onto your face. Now you're gonna need to set up the machine to where the cloth is slowly dragged away from your nostrils, else you will die. But have it land on your face directly at 5:30 in the morning, and as soon as you're getting up, it'll just be and you'll be right back down sleeping like a baby, no problems.
A perfect answer, perfect answer. Next question comes from Trash Turkey. Mm-hmm. Our good bud Trash Turkey asks,
Trash Turk,
do you have a remedy for sunburn? I for me personally, mm-hmm. what I do is I just take my bare hand or hand, depending on what area that I'm sunburned on, and I just rub it down very, you'll firmly press and then kind of quickly rub that area. And it just kind of, I don't know, rubs in the sudden burn a little deeper into your skin so that you don't feel it as much, I guess,
you
is
just
what
absorb
happens.
It. You just absorb it.
You just absorb it, yes.
You know, I mean, the body heals itself, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, you get a little scratch, it's going to scab over and heal up, and you won't even see, you won't know where the scratch was a couple months from now.
Yeah.
But, you know, exactly. You just, you rub the... rub the sunburn down further into your white blood cells, and the blood cells will take care of the rest.
Exactly.
You know, my first thought, whenever you start saying rub, I'm thinking, you know, when you get a stain on like a stainless steel sink or something, like you just get some kind of, maybe not a stain, but like some food on there, you just, you can't get off. You know, what I like to do is go get some steel wool, some really fine grain stuff, and just get that off of there. And, you know, get it all looking nice and shiny and stuff. So I'm thinking grab yourself some steel wool. If you don't want to go the press it down to the white blood cell route, then just scrub it off with the,
just take it off
with the steel wool. And you know, then no more sunburn. You're going to have underneath that sunburn. See what they don't tell you. This is what the sunscreen industry doesn't want you to know. Underneath that sunburn is fresh, new, shiny skin that is smooth as a baby's bum. And all you got to do is rub down to that layer with some steel wool, and it's like taking a layer of rust off. I mean, you'll be fine, and no more sunburn. People actually will be complimenting that spot on your arm or, you know, the back of your head. Boy, that's shiny, is what they'll say. So.
Yep. You're welcome. That's it. Mm-hmm. We did it.
Folks, we figured all those, and that's a lot of figuring.
Yes,
listen,
sir.
We've got, we're at 42, I think, minutes, 40-something minutes of figuring. Listen, if we did your figuring, and we did a lot this time, for you or any other time or for any of your friends, please consider supporting us on Patreon. Pass us a couple bucks there or link. The link to the Patreon is in the show notes. It's on our website. Also, just share the show. Share it with your friends, your sunburned friends, your 40-hour work week friends, your lifeguard cult friends. Share it with all of them. because everyone will enjoy and everyone will be informed. We do not, however, submit this in VHS, so any lifeguard cults, you'll need to put it in VHS and then take it to them. Anyway, you can find us at sumbugman.com, on Twitter, at sumbugman. You can find myself at Chase the Rev on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at bugman underscore Bradley. Yes, ha.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I wonder what they're up to right now.
Probably saving a life.
Saving a life, feeding them some of that government cheese.
Yum, yum, ma, 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 ma.
And that'd be the show.